be on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he's calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, My teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately the man regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, Deacon Charles and I are currently preaching a five-part series on the kingdom of God. Today is the fourth talk in that series. And just to recap a bit, the first week we learned that when Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, he was referring to all the people in the world who accept God's mercy and grace into their hearts and who will live as his beloved children. And then all who do so, all who accept this grace, are moved and called to the sacrament of baptism and become members of the church. And so the kingdom of God is something that begins here and now on earth in this life, and then later on is perfected in heaven. We also learned that first week that to accept God's grace and mercy into our hearts and become members of his family, we need to have childlike hearts. Jesus told us that this first week when he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. The second week, the topic was on money and wealth. And we saw that those who want to be part of God's family here on earth cannot be excessively attached to money, wealth, material possessions, and the pleasures of this world. Yes, we do need to provide for ourselves and our families, but once we have enough, then everything over and above that belongs to the poor. God has blessed us with more than what we need precisely because he wants us to be generous with the needy. So the attitude of hanging on to our wealth, wanting more and more, and neglecting or not thinking about the needs of the poor, that's really an attitude and behavior that's incompatible with being part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the second week when he told his disciples, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. So generosity with the poor and suffering, that's the second hallmark of people who are living as faithful members of God's family. Last week, the topic was on service and loving kindness. Last week in the gospel, Jesus pointed to his own example, and he said, The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. So a third quality to be found among people who are living as faithful members of God's family is that they are people who are eager to serve others, eager to do good deeds, eager to perform many acts of random loving kindness without looking for anything in return. So far in the series, in the last 3 weeks, we were looking at questions like, well, how am I doing so far? Do I really trust God the way a little child trusts in the love and care of his parents? If so, it means that we are people who don't worry and who have no fear of the future, because no matter what the difficulty or challenge, God has the answer. God is strong enough, and God has the goodness and love to give us what we need to overcome all? Are we also generous with our money and material blessings? Do we include the poor in our monthly budget? Are we eager to serve and do acts of kindness for others without looking for anything in return? People should be able to recognize and see these qualities in us if our Christian faith is authentic. And if we as a people, as individuals, and as a parish, if we are people that really genuinely believe and trust in God, are eager to help the needy and poor with great generosity, welcome with delight the stranger, listen to others with compassion, share goodness and kindness as a way of life, and try to bring joy to others, what a great light and blessing this church would be for this area. People would be breaking down the walls to try to belong to this community. And as a parish, I believe we've started to become more intentional in trying to create just such a community. We've started now to offer hospitality after every Mass, time for refreshments and socializing with one another. We have child care and children's liturgy at the 10 o'clock Mass every Sunday morning. We've been offering the Alpha program as a gentle way for people who have been away from the church to reconnect in a non-threatening way and also receive a free supper. We've started small faith-sharing groups as a way to support one another in our Christian walk. And we have teams of people now willing to visit the sick and the shut-ins. So these are all excellent initiatives. However, we now, I think, need to pray for the grace to persevere and pray for these initiatives to grow. Because parishes who have tried making these conscious efforts to become more intentional disciples, parishes who have made more conscious efforts to evangelize and reach out to others, they say it takes about 7 years before they begin to see a really significant change and growth in the parish. And so far, this is only our second year, so we're still in the beginning stages. And I really want to thank everyone who has stepped up so beautifully to the plate and who are involved in these initiatives. Keep going. Don't get discouraged. In time, I believe we will see a huge change in our parish if we persevere in our efforts. And we also need to keep in mind that some people require more time before they're ready to come to God or come back to God. Some people require more sacrifice and more prayers than others before they're ready to open their heart and make room in their lives for God. There are many, many people in the world, maybe more so now than ever, who are really turned away from God or are just indifferent. They're like Bartimaeus in today's story, the blind man. They're blind to the things of God. They're blind to the truths of the gospel, and they're blind to the real meaning of life. You know, we see this as priests all the time in every parish, year after year. Countless people come to us and tell us that that close members of their family are atheists and do not want to have anything to do with God, and they've tried everything and nothing seems to work. People tell us that they have family members who are good people, but they never go to church. They never see them praying, and they just give no thought or concern to the next life. They're basically just living for the here and now, what this world can offer. Many people come to us concerned that their kids are not married in the church or they're living common law, and they see nothing wrong with it. People come to us concerned that their grandchildren were never baptized. And as a result, as teenagers and young adults, they have no concept of God or the Christian life. So many people are blind to the ways of God. They don't want to listen. They don't want to believe. And as a result, their souls are in grave jeopardy. They could lose heaven if they persevere in that until the end of their life. And many of these people are people that you and I love and care for. They're family members, they're friends, We want them in heaven with us one day. For them to end up in hell, for us never to see them again, for them never to see God and to suffer for all eternity, that's just unthinkable. And so what can we do for them? We've often tried to talk to them about the faith. We've invited them to come back to church with us. We love them. We're kind to them. We're good to them. But it doesn't seem to move them any closer to God. They're blind. What more can we do? Is there any hope for them? Well, yes, there is. But only if you and I are willing to go deeper in our faith and to have a real living faith, a faith that can give life to others. So whatever amount of prayer and sacrifice we've offered for these family members and friends so far has not been enough. So are we willing to pray for them and sacrifice for them more than we have up until now? We need to win extra graces for them. We need to obtain greater and more extraordinary graces for them, and we can do this if we increase our prayers and the intensity of our prayers and our sacrifices for them. And so some questions we could ask ourselves: do I love them enough that I'm willing to come to Mass maybe one or two extra times during the week? Yes, it does require extra effort, but those extra prayers and effort we can offer up for our loved ones for their conversion. Do we pray the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet every day for them? Do we offer one or two little sacrifices of self-denial each day to God for their conversion? Saints always found ways to offer little sacrifices for others. For example, Mother Teresa would kneel and pray on the hard floor rather than on a carpet. I'm sure she was offering that up for the conversion of sinners who had a hard heart. She also would wash her hands with cold water rather than warm water for the conversion of sinners with cold hearts. John Paul II would deliberately, after a long day, if he sat down to do some office work, he would sit straight in his chair for the first half hour, no matter how tired he was, and only after that half hour was up would he lean back in the chair, offering it for the conversion of people who are living maybe crooked lives. I read of a lady whose nephew was an alcoholic, and this elderly lady loved her afternoon tea, but she decided she would give that up for her nephew until her nephew would have the grace to give up alcohol. And what about fasting one or two days a week? Are we willing to do that? That's been part of the Christian faith from the very beginning. And if you and I are willing to increase our level of prayer, increase our level of sacrifice, and offer it out of love for the conversion of people close to us, then there is great hope for them. At some point in lives, they will receive the graces they need to open their eyes to see and accept Jesus and his ways in their life. I just want to end now my homily with a true story that I think can give us hope in this, that extra graces and prayers and sacrifices really do make a difference. It's a true story. You can Google it on Google. Just put in the amazing conversion of Claude Newman. And Claude Newman was born December 1st, 1923, in the U.S. in a place called Arkansas. And he grew up with his grandparents. His grandmother had married a second time to a man named Sid Cook. And Sid was a very violent and abusive man. And over the years, the abuse and violence got worse and worse. And as Claude grew into a young man, he became more and more angry at the abuse and violence that Sid committed towards his grandmother and towards him. Then on December 19th, 1942, I guess Claude just had enough, and he shot and killed Sid Cook. A year later, 1943, Claude was captured and arrested. He was found guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to be executed. In prison, he shared a cell block with four other men. One of the men was Catholic, a fallen away Catholic. And Claude noticed a little medal around the man's neck, and one day he asked what it was. Well, the man was a little bit embarrassed, and he just sort of took it off and threw it at Claude and said, here, you can have it if you want. And it was a miraculous medal, a medal dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Claude really didn't know much about it, but intrigued, he wore it. And one night, as he lay sleeping on his cot, he felt someone touch his arm. And looking up, he said, I saw the most beautiful woman God had ever created. And she said to me, if you would like me to be your mother and you would like to be my child, send for a priest from the Catholic Church. Well, he was frightened and thought he was seeing a ghost, but the next morning it was such a real impression in his mind that he did ask for a priest, and they brought him the local pastor, Father Robert O'Leary. Father O'Leary listened to Claude's story and was really impressed with his sincerity, and he realized that Claude was illiterate. He had no education, and he knew nothing about Christianity. So Father O'Leary offered Claude religious instruction, and Claude agreed. And eventually, Claude was baptized, received the Eucharist, was confirmed, and received into the Catholic Church, and that happened 4 days before he was to be executed. Well, Claude was actually looking forward to it because he wanted to be with that beautiful lady and be with God in heaven again. It was such an amazing experience of love. But at the last moment, the governor of the state, Mississippi, he delayed Claude's execution for 2 weeks, and Claude was actually terribly disappointed. And consoling him, Father O'Leary had an inspiration. And he asked Claude to offer his disappointment and every moment he suffered by being separated from God in heaven and from Our Lady as a sacrifice for a fellow prisoner named James Hughes. Father O'Leary said to Claude that James Hughes had been raised as a Catholic but had fallen away and was now rejecting anything to do with God. That he was the filthiest, most immoral person Father O'Leary had ever met, that his hatred for God and everything spiritual defied description. Claude agreed to offer his great disappointment and his suffering and death for the conversion of James. And Claude's execution did take place on February 4th, 1944, 2 weeks later. And Father O'Leary testified saying, I have never seen anyone go to his death as joyfully and happily. Even the official witnesses and newspaper reporters were amazed. They said they could not understand how anyone could go to the electric chair while at the same time actually beaming with joy. And so Claude was executed. And the execution of James Hughes was scheduled 3 months later for May 19, 1944. And on the day of his execution, Father O'Leary was called in. It was law in the Mississippi for a clergyman to be present for all executions. And after Hughes was strapped to the electric chair and just minutes away from being executed, the sheriff asked if he had any last words. Hughes began yelling angrily and blaspheming against God, but then suddenly he stopped. And he was quiet for a short period of time. And a look of complete horror came over his face. And then he cried out, Sheriff, get me a priest. Father O'Leary had been hidden behind some reporters because he didn't want to provoke the condemned man, but now he came forward. So the room was cleared, and Father O'Leary heard the man's confession and reconciled him with God and with the church. And when the sheriff returned, he asked Hughes, and he said, Son, what changed your mind? And the prisoner responded and said, Sheriff, remember Claude Newman, who was executed about 3 months ago? Well, he was standing in the corner over there, and behind him, with one hand on each shoulder, was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Claude said to me, James, I offered my prayers and sacrifices and my death in union with Christ on the cross for your salvation. And because of this, Mary has obtained for you extra graces, the gift of seeing where your place in hell will be if you choose not to repent. I was then shown what my place in hell would be like for all eternity, and that is why I screamed with horror and fear and asked for a priest. So James Hughes was therefore converted in the last moment of his life because of the extra prayers, extra sacrifice that his fellow prisoner, Claude, was willing to offer for him, uniting it with the sufferings of Christ on the cross. So God gives everyone sufficient graces for salvation, thousands and thousands of them. But if a person rejects them all, then there comes a time when God will only give extra graces through the prayers and sacrifices of others. So today may be a good day to ask ourselves, how deep and how true is my love for God and my love for family members and friends who are far from God? Am I willing to deepen my prayer and sacrifice for their salvation? And so in this series on the kingdom of God, we've seen that the characteristics and qualities of someone who is really living as an authentic child of the kingdom of God, that such people have a childlike, trusting, believing hearts, that they are generous to the poor and needy, that they're eager to serve and do goodness and spread kindness towards others, and that they're happy to pray and sacrifice deeply for the conversion of family members and friends who are far from God. The church dedicates the month of October to the Blessed Virgin Mary, so during this month, as we are praying our rosary each day, let us ask Mary to obtain for us the graces to have this kind of love, this kind of deep love for God and others, childlike in trust, generous to the poor, kind to everyone, and being willing to really go deep in prayer and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners whose souls are in jeopardy.